Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dum Dums and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing four weekly podcasts: Dum Dums and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, and Warhammer 40,000 The Valentine Heresy, as well as four event podcasts with mini-series releases at staggered intervals: Curse Code and Crown, Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dum Dums and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dum Dums and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dum Dums and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around a spooky dude. The Coultry rescued Azaria Tyrell from the scene of a feral vampire massacre, burning the club to the ground. Ridley torched the place with no shirt on. Iris communicated with multiple allies using her mind, and Everett ate a vampire in front of Iris. What will our heroes do with a new hunter ally and a night off? Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So, Coterie, I've got some very good news for you. You've escaped the clutches of the Satin Prince. You managed to save the Bear Boys from horrible fate. You made some friends along the way. You met some famous actors. It's been quite a long night. But miraculously, you've survived and you're on your way home. This is the story of the Coterie's first night off in quite a long time. So obviously you're all burnt pretty badly. Both literally in Ridley's case and metaphorically in others. Some of us have had to, you know, embrace someone recently, kind of against their better judgment. Some of us got possessed by a demon after trying to become a god. We've all had a hell of a night. And so my question to you is, you're all pretty burnt out. The sun is rising shortly. So tonight's more of a hunker down kind of situation. But you also have Jocelyn St. James with you, which is new. So I guess my question is there anything you want to do tonight before you tuck in for the day?
I mean, probably talk to Jocelyn St. James. I feel like we know nothing about her.
I think Ridley in the back seat is so hungry that he looks sort of like an animal. And he's like, okay, so I need to eat. But when I wake up, it's sort of 50-50. I'm eating the first person I fucking see. So where's the food at? I need a fucking dickhead. He's like jonesing for a bad person.
I understand. All right, so Ridley has expressed a need for food.
From a meta perspective, I have 4 hunger. If I wake up and fail a check, I'm going into a bestial frenzy.
Yeah, man. Miles, I think Iris didn't take too much damage aside from the weird brain adventure. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got power hungry. That's all.
I mean, look, it happens to the best of us. And Tyler, you ate someone. You ate a vamp on your way out the door, right?
Yeah, we didn't resolve anything with that, though, both, like, interpersonally and on paper. So I still have my hunger and stuff remaining.
Okay, given that you couldn't spend the time to fully drain them, I think we can say it drops down 1 point of hunger. Okay. But it's not you're not fully satiated because it was, you know, it was a fast food. It was like one taquito. You couldn't get like a proper order of taquitos. You just got the one.
Yeah.
You're going to regret it either way, but yeah. And yes, and Iris, of course, observed you doing that after some exciting rolls. Okay, so it would seem then that the two major questions are talking to Jocelyn on the way back and then trying to solve for Ridley. Now, here's the problem. The sun is coming up, so you don't have time to hunt. So are you just going to grab some random dickhead off the street, or would the goal be to try and send bear boys out overnight? Overnight, during the day? What do you think your tactic would be here? You can't exactly Uber Eats a person to you yet.
What?
I think he's looking for a drug dealer or a pimp on a corner. Like, just like park the car, get out, take something to go, get back to the bar.
Weirdly, you're looking for that same taquito experience. Okay, can you roll me a streetwise, please, with wits? This is for you staring out the car longingly, like me driving past a McDonald's as a kid. I know it's right there. I could have chicken nuggets right now, but I don't.
Nuggies.
I have 1 success.
Okay. You find a middle bad person standing outside.
They're just getting weed.
Yeah, it's that weird like 70s Punisher run where it's like jaywalking. So yeah, you see someone just like selling weed.
Well, you're a fucking criminal. Let's gotta grab them because they're drug dealers. That's fine.
Oh man, he's just trying to pay for his university education. Okay, so go ahead and roll me, please, probably a brawl and strength.
Would this qualify as grappling?
Oh, yes.
Dope. Five successes.
Slightly better at that than at the sighting of things out the car window. Cool. So we'll resolve that in a minute. In the meantime, Tyler, you wanted to talk to Jocelyn. As you recall, silver hair pulled back under a hat. Like leather vest, seems to be like fairly like the, obviously she's like strapped with, bolts for her crossbow. A little bit worse for the wear, having chased you across the city tonight and then, went to war with the vampire riot inside the club. What do you think you would want to learn from her?
Was that you? At the cop car?
Yeah.
What were you doing there? Were you helping me?
And she kind of smiles and she's like, well, mate, seems like you could use a little bit of help. And figured you'd be more use to me if you weren't dead.
Why? Why? I don't understand. Why would you help me? Why would you kill human people to help me, a vampire? You're a vampire hunter, ain't you?
She kind of looks a bit sheepish because she's in a car full of vampires. And she's she says, well, yeah, that is a bit awkward for me too. But gotta tell you, for a bunch of fangs, you're not so bad on the greater scheme. Besides, I've got bigger fish to fry, and I'm hoping you can help me.
I don't suppose we have much choice in that, do we?
No, mate, you don't.
Hmm. So when are we going to learn more about this favor?
And it's at this point that Ryan, like, taps the driver. The car pulls over, and he leaps out and grabs someone. You can see that Jocelyn is actively uncomfortable about this. One of you needs to try and talk her down a bit. You can tell that she's on doing her on best. Like, you get the sense that her MO seems to be in a bit of a I've made my bed with the villains in order to achieve my goal. How it's like an undercover cop who has to watch someone get murdered and is like, ooh, my job is to not let this happen, but I'm gonna. So you can tell she's a little uncomfortable, but also it's very dramatic seeing Ridley grab a random, like, awkward college student off the street with the clear intent of eating them, as he's loudly declared twice. So Iris or Everett, what do you think you would do to try and get her back on track and, like, help smooth over the you're rolling with the monsters now?
I don't know how much Everett would really want to stop her from using her judgment on, like, because I feel like Everett is having a moment of, like, this is a human person with the means and ability to kill vampires, and I've felt like a monster for a while now, kind of thing, and I feel like I work with monsters. Whatever she decides might just be the right thing to happen to us.
Okay, Miles, what do you think is running through Iris's head during this?
I will definitely want to keep her on side and not attack or stop Ridley, because I don't want him to go bestial. So I'm pretty sure I just try to, like, use my special skill to keep her distracted and get to know as much as I can about her.
Okay, so can you roll me a... Let's go with etiquette. Unless you have, forgive me, it's been a hot second since we played this. If you have a specific skill you want to use, that's totally fine too. But otherwise, I'd say persuasion or etiquette would be fine for me, and likely...
I mean, I'll always take persuasion if you're fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. It just depends how you're approaching
it. Like, everything's fine, this is fine. If you don't let this happen, it'll get worse.
Right. The Vampiric, like, Triad.
But it all comes out as, like, clever girl talk. Like, oh yeah, this is fun. Let's just, like, get to know each other if we're going to have to work for you anyway.
You see, like, Jocelyn, like, goes pale and is, like, clearly completely unequipped for whatever, like, standard girl talk is. As, you know, people who train to become living weapons often are. She's like, right, well, that all sounds lovely, but, no, that's completely fucking wrong accent. Here's the problem. I can't do any of my key, like, here's my word to get back into an accent things because we're on air. The mutant, so hang on. All right, yeah, this is going to be a real problem.
From now on, you have to do the word. It's got to be a character thing. You got to build it in. That's just her tick.
Yeah, I love it. Great. So she's like...
Sorry, I'm rolling persuasion in what?
Persuasion and I think probably charisma in this case, if you're going with persuasion. But I'd also give you manipulation if you would prefer. Tell she's...
Charisma's fine.
She's picking up what you're putting down. She's just wildly under-equipped to actually have this conversation. It's like if you've heard any of the stories of...
who's driving us right now? Bear Boys? Or like how no, where, how are we being transported?
I seem to recall it was... Van. Yeah, I think we could safely say it's either... It's probably Dederick, actually, because he peeled out of there pretty early, so it would make sense. I also think Dederick is a terrible driver. I think, like, this is probably his second time driving. I don't think he has a license. But
yeah, because, like, if this works, I might... If this works, I might make him pull over so I can call an Uber and take her with me and let Ridley do his thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I like that. So, yeah, it's like Bill Hader being like, I tried to talk to LeBron James, but I don't know anything about sports, and he only knows about sports, so we had nothing to talk about. It was terrible. It's like that level of her being like, uh-huh. But, yeah, go ahead and roll. I was going to start adding, like, boost dice, but that's not this game. Bad DM.
That's five successes.
Okay. So I think very wisely, you're kind of giving her that spiel, and with an assurance that you'll all meet up in the morning. Is the plan to entice her into an Uber?
Yeah.
So
let's minimize the level at which this might go wrong.
Yeah, I like that plan a lot. So Everett, this does unfortunately mean you won't get any answers about this tonight, but, clearly you kind of seem stuck with this. And I like the argument you made that for Everett, this is weirdly kind of what he wanted.
Just like judgment a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And
cards on the table. It's me metagaming to get the socially strong player to socially interact with the person who can kill vampires. I needed a character reason to be like, you take this one.
Yeah, that's fair. Good work. Way to show your cards there. That's great. I answered a question about that in our tips, tricks, and traps today. I was like, no, we don't metagame. Lies. it's a meta successy.
It's all true about Everett, but.
Oh, Thomas. Yeah.
Anyway, I think the reasoning is sound and certainly enough to justify Everett waiting on answers, because also, like, she's clearly been following him for a while, so it's not like if she goes in a car, like, it's not like you've been chasing her. It's like, oh, no, the one person with answers left. It's like, no, that lady who's been stalking me, yeah, she'll be around.
Who murdered several police officers.
Yep.
For you. Because you stole that baby. Great. So you...
remember when you stole a baby?
It's been a long night.
You, like, stole. It implies intent, you know? And that's not what that was about. I discovered a baby.
It's the regular Christopher Columbus of babies over here.
I happened upon a child in a car I was consciously stealing.
Tale as old as time. all right. So, with kind of a promise, to fill you in later and an assurance that it aligns with your interests, Jocelyn St. James, piles into an Uber with, Iris. Iris, how do you talk to her on the way back? What is an Uber ride?
Yeah, I probably do I know that she's been kind of like following, stalking, hunting Everett?
I don't think he mentioned it.
He did.
Because if I did, I'd probably like be like, so what's your interest in my friend? If I don't know that she's been helping him, it's probably just general trivia that I'm trying to get out of her.
Okay.
Yeah, she showed up at the nightclub and saved us all, but I think that's all you or I know.
Yeah, because I don't think Everett showed you guys the bolt that she sent that message on.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hi there, I'm Tom McGee, and I love stories. And odds are, if you're listening to our shows, you do too. So, if you're wondering how you can help support our storytelling and world building and these wonderful characters and their sometimes ridiculous journeys, you can head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. There you'll find a variety of different levels and different perks, starting from as low as a dollar, which gets you into our Patreon-only Discord, where you can talk about the latest episodes, all the twists and turns, and just generally hang out with some truly lovely people. There's a whole variety of levels with everything from advanced episodes, ad-free feeds, to, of course, at our $25 level, getting to create your very own character who appears in some of our shows and sometimes becomes a long-running friend or foe of our characters. So, if you want to get involved, if you want to help us tell more of these stories, then head on over to patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And help us create more of these fun adventures together.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
So, with that in mind...
Yeah, so just be like, thank God you were there. Who are you? Where you been?
She explains her name is Jocelyn St. James. She's from Australia. Not that you'd know it from her accent, which will likely be Cockney 98% of the time.
She's just trying to throw us off. It's fine.
Yeah. She's very stealthy. She doesn't give you a ton of information. She's clearly kind of guarded. You get, Iris, you're pretty savvy on social stuff. You notice an immediate shift from the way she was talking to Everett to the way she's talking to you. It's a lot more tentative and a lot more reserved. Whereas with Everett, there seemed to be kind of a distant familiarity, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. So not like it certainly wasn't an intimate conversation, but you definitely get the sense that she's more comfortable talking to Everett than she is talking to you. But she's cagey, but she explains that she has recently arrived here in Canada. She was on her way to Toronto when the tower attack happened. As a result, she had to change her plans rather drastically and found herself in Montreal instead. So she's very excited to work with the three of you. Although, again, you can...
Oh, we're working together?
Yeah, I mean, you heard her talking to Everett about doing that. But yeah, she says... Listen, our interests are rather aligned. Fuck me, I hate these accents so goddamn much. Good night, mate. There we go. That's how I always start my sentences. right, so it looks like you lot are trying to do some things, and I'm trying to do some things, and I think we could help each other. Also, saved your mate Everett back there twice.
Oh, twice?
She nods.
When was the other time?
She looks at the Uber driver and just kind of like shakes her head as she continues to like pull her coat over all the bolts.
thank you for keeping him safe. And obviously we owe you one as long as it's kind of, you know, aligned with what we want to do. So...
she kind of nods and explains that like that's the idea, and she kind of clams up after that, but you get the sense that like very much for a vampire hunter to decide to work with vampires is a pretty drastic step. So weirdly you also kind of have leverage on her because
like do I have any insight or like read on how dangerous she is, like if I'm in danger just being alone with her right now?
You probably are. If you had the three of you, maybe not. The vampires in the club riot did seem odd. They didn't quite seem to be kindred in full control or full... they hadn't really come into their powers, you don't think? So with your ability to see the future and that sort of thing, your odds aren't terrible. But yeah, she does seem legitimately very dangerous. Also, the fact that she had the foresight to rig... the club to burn, like to rig up gasoline to the sprinkler system as a backup, should suggest the lengths to which this woman will go to kill vampires. Because that's a
and
pretty...
That she clearly knows more about what's going on and when it's going to go on than we do.
Yeah, and she's willing to, like... Weirdly, she does remind you to some extent of Everett in terms of kind of her, what seems to be her code of conduct, but Ridley in terms of the, like, they both had the same idea, which was burn the fucking place down. If everything goes badly, I'll just burn it to the ground, which is, I think, Iris, for you as someone kind of coming from non-supernatural society, like, the fact that that was her backup plan is pretty drastic. This isn't like a, no, we must make sure that we save all the humans. It's like a, it's honestly, it's more of an infectious disease thing. Like, oh, there's an outbreak. Okay, we just got to torch the building. Like, better that everyone in that building dies than vampires escape.
Is she more, is she interested in us? Like, is she asking any questions of me to get to know kind of like, or do I get the sense she kind of already has done that research?
You get the sense that she is, if you were to venture a guess, just having seen this happen in social spheres, she is likely going to go through Everett to try and get info about you. But you do note that she does not seem to react to the fact that, oh, I mean, you're still dressed as Lurleen, so she just might not be
tracking. That's right, I am still dressed as Lurleen.
Yeah, but you don't get any sense of like, holy shit, you're Iris Dunn. Oh my God, what, you're a vampire? Which is actually quite refreshing in a lot of ways. Not the least of which being that you're currently fugitive, but also just in general, it's kind of a relief. So I guess the one major question she will ask is, so you, what's your vampire power? Y'all got one, right?
I prefer to keep that one a secret, because if everyone knew my vampire power, it wouldn't be a nice little secret vampire power, would it?
Suppose not. Well, can't blame a girl for trying. And then she...
Do you have a secret power?
She just smiles and runs a finger down, like, all of the bolts in kind of like, almost like a xylophone. She's like, well, pretty good shot.
I guess that's a skill, but I understand.
And she kind of smiles. She's like, right, well, we can't all have crazy powers now, can we? Driver, we're talking about
could,
a game.
Well, you could. I mean, if you were a vampire, you could.
Ah, it's a good game we play, right, Driver? And the driver's like an Uber driver in Montreal, so it gives exactly zero fucks about like anything that's happening in the back. It's honestly, you just don't get that same personal touch you get with the Dinkeldorf cab company. So,
I was gonna say, if you're both speaking English, the driver legitimately may not understand it and just be looking down on you.
Yeah.
That's actually very true.
How dare you not speak French?
Yeah. Quebec. Great. So
that's as all he says. Right, driver? It's a fun game. Right, driver? Quebec.
La Belle Provence.
That's the right answer for everything.
Sacre mer. Four stars. meanwhile, Ridley, you have pulled a drug dealer in.
All right, so you're going to school, right?
He's looking at like a half burnt, like shirtless monster man. Just be like, you're going to fucking school?
Yes. My name is Jean-François Philippe. I go to school. I'm studying to be a nurse.
Right, how do you feel about fucking Gordon Stevenson?
Who?
Gordon Stevenson.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know that name. Is he the man who burned?
What about
this?
The trans community? And he just like bounces him off the seat.
Ah! They're great. What? Why?
Okay.
Oh no, you're not a TERF, are you?
Describe your ex-girlfriend to me.
I don't have one. I've never dated. I'm socially awkward and studying to be a nurse.
Do you know what a Chad is?
I know a guy named Chad. He seems okay.
Get out. Show him out of the car. Be like, I can't fucking eat him. He's fine.
Jean-François Philippe just watches you drive away and he's like, whew, that was scary. Gordon Stevenson, though. I guess I'll go look that guy up. And then he just walks off into the night. A new monster is born. So, Ryan, you're starving. The sun is coming up. You're rapidly approaching Mayday Malone's. What is your last-ditch attempt to find a meal?
I got to fucking send the bear boys out, and I'm just like, find the scummiest shitbag you can and just shove them in my coffin and then lock it shut. It's just, yeah. You got to get fucking put him in and lock it, because I don't want to fucking know. And if he turns out to be okay, I'm going to throw up so fucking much, so don't fucking bollocks this. Yeah, no more setting prints. What the fuck? We'll go into this later. I don't have time for it. He's just fucking like a weird two-faced monster coming out of there. Also, who the fuck was that fucking lady? Fuck! And he just goes into the bar really angry.
Dedrick is like, interesting questions. All true. All true questions that and then he looks around. It's like a full gold bloom. Like he realizes everyone's left. He's like, oh, and everyone has left the car. Except for me. So cool to have friends. And then he gets out and comes to join you in the bar. As the sun begins to rise over the fair city of Montreal, you bundle into the basement. Miles, you drop Jocelyn off with a kind of like a promise to reconnect tomorrow. She's staying at like a swanky Airbnb of some sort above a shawarma joint, let's say. So it's not that swanky. Then you have the choice of where you want to go. Do you go to Malone's where you've been hiding? Do you go somewhere else? What's your plan for the night? Day? Shit. Vampires.
Yeah, I'll probably go to Malone's. It's just quick and rapidly approaching. I'm too exhausted to try to come up with something different.
Fair enough. So you arrive at Malone's. Everett and Ridley, you help bring Chonky down into the basement. Dedrick is kind of looking around the place and generally being helpful. Harvey is sitting there with what seems to be a small Tupperware tub with a raccoon and two squirrels in it. That you can hear are just fucking going at it in there. As you come down, he's just like reaching inside. He's like, oh, hey, anybody want a squirrely one? They're not really cold ones. They're kind of warm and vaguely gross, but I gotta tell you, the little fuckers are easy to catch.
If I fucking could, I would, my friend, but I fucking can't. I don't know. Everett, you fucking want some?
Oh, I'm all right. You doing all right there, Harv?
Honestly, it's a bit strange. Still weird seeing every little critter as a tasty, fast meal. But, you know, once you get over the furriness and the teeth, the blood's real tasty. You're really missing out.
Well, to each their own, I guess. Hey, stick around, all right? The sun's almost up.
Well, he's like, Chunky. I got everything I need right here.
Harvey, this is Chonky. Chonky, this is Harvey. We're kind of doing a co-parenting thing because I turned Everett's boy and Everett turned my boy. So that means we're both your dads and we're going to raise you up right. So, Chonky, we've got to figure out what you fucking eat because all of our kind only eat one fucking kind of thing. And Harvey, yeah, don't go out in the sun. You'll fucking die. Do we just fucking sleep now? He looks to Everett as though like it's two dads figuring out what to do at bedtime.
Yeah. Chunky, you're going to go through some serious changes overnight. Do we have any way to restrain him?
Well, we could put him in the box and let Harvey stay out of the box, and then he can't, you know, fuck around.
Yeah. Is that all right with you, Harv?
I mean, yeah, I was starting to feel mighty comfortable in there, but I suppose I could make do out here. Sure.
That's a nice boy looking after your brother. All right, so we'll shift it up. You know, everyone's got to share a room. Chonky, get the fuck in here. He just holds open it.
I mean, like, Chonky's tremendously fucked up. Like, he's been shot in the heart. Like, he's not doing great. So it's more
okay,
of like
we're going to help you then.
Yeah, so, no, everybody rolls him in. Dedrick kind of...
I'll yell up the stairs like, oh, not just my fucking one. We're going to need a selection of fucking cunts so we can try to feed Chonky. I don't know what he likes, so get a fucking buffet. Just like five completely different things.
Yeah, and Dedrick's like, also, if you could throw someone with melancholy in there for me, I've been really craving some melancholy. That would be so nice. If it's not too much trouble, I'll tip. And he just leans like, honestly, it's just so nice. It's so nice to have other people. This is great.
All right, we'll allow that. You could do that for him, but because I'm telling you to, don't follow this fucking piece of shit's orders ever. He just fucking points at Dedrick.
Dedrick's like, hi, fucking piece of shit. no orders, just requests.
Okay, so Dedrick, you get to sleep on the floor. Arvi, you can sleep on Dedrick. Chonky, and he just locks the chain shut, and he's like, all right, you get to stay in there. I'll sleep in my coffin. Everett, you usually sleep in the office. I don't know if you want to, you got to do that.
And then Iris Dunn comes down the stairs, clearly looking for a place to crash.
Okay, Iris, we got two human pillows. You can sleep on top of the box. I honestly, I'd normally give you my coffin, but I am right fucked. There's no way I could just sleep out here and come out all right. And he's already stripping nude. There's less moves than normal. It's literally just pants, shoes, underwear.
You just feel like he's shaking and they fall off.
So he's injured enough that I think the underwear he has to try to take off, but he falls down taking it off and swears. And then it comes off in like a Trailer Park Boys kind of way. Gotcha. And then he goes into his coffin and pulls it shut.
And Everett, I assume you're heading to the office?
Yeah.
All right. Miles / Iris / Lurline, you look around a basement full of weirdness. Where do you sleep?
I don't know. Is there like a broom closet where I can just kind of like make myself a little oasis away from all these weirdos?
There absolutely is a broom closet. So Iris, after a lifetime of staying in the nicest of hotels and fanciest of condos, you make yourself a little zen oasis amidst smelly mops, industrial grade solvents, and fewer rolls of toilet paper than you would think possible for a bar of this size.
Ew.
But as you kind of nestle into your weird little kindred nest, just as you're kind of falling into a state of sleep, your phone blinks. And it's a text message from Emily, who just says, sleep well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Aww. I just send back a bunch of cute heart emojis and I love you, Emily.
Your message is sent, but not read.
Emily!
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice. And you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lorda Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Second X, Jordan Neesmith, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.